How many of y'all have participated in Financial Peace University? Anyone? Like you've gone through Financial Peace University? Okay. Keep your hands raised if your life was totally wrecked by going through Financial Peace University or listening to Dave Ramsey. Anyone? Can hardly tell. Okay. How about this? You can put your hands down. Anyone in here, your life was wrecked because your parents went through Financial Peace University? Okay. Am I the only one? Zimmerman girls, where are you at? Okay. Okay, so yeah, my parents, I did not think, and I could have been very wrong, but I did not think, and I don't think, that my parents were like reckless when it came to their finances, like growing up. I thought my parents were pretty good, and I think that they would say they were pretty good too. For whatever reason, though, they decided that they were going to sign up and go through Financial Peace University. And I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't think that we were bad, and then like they went through Financial Peace, and I was like, what has happened to my lifestyle? My middle and high school years were wrecked thanks to Dave Ramsey. My parents like totally changed everything that they did, and any little bit of like excess spending that we had or that they did was quickly done away with. I get so uncomfortable. Like bad memories come to my mind when, like, parents, y'all pay for events and trips, and you hand me an envelope with cash in it. Like, that just triggers bad, painful memories in me because that's how my parents lived, the cash in the envelope system. So when you hand me that, it's like, oh, geez. I think the first sermon in this series, Steve mentioned Dave Ramsey, and Whitney and I were sitting in the back there, and he mentioned Dave Ramsey. And we looked at each other. We had this look. We're like, oh boy, because her parents went through Financial Peace University, and we talk all the time about how our parents' finances changed and how that just had a profound impact on them, and therefore we were the direct result of their like not spending money. And so when Steve mentioned Dave Ramsey, we're just like, oh, all the painful memories came about. I was never more embarrassed in my high school years than when I would go grocery shopping with my mom, and she would be checking out. And when they would get like towards the end, if the amount was more than she had cash in her envelope, she would then tell the people who worked at the grocery store, usually the cash register or the bagger, who I went to high school with, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to have to put this back because I don't have enough money. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you were telling people I'm going to high school with tomorrow that you don't have enough money. Like, this is so embarrassing. I cannot believe you're doing this to me right now. We didn't go out to eat. We didn't do takeout unless it was a special occasion. And even then, it was like, mom's like, well, just tell me what you want and I'll make it. I'm like, no, you cannot make what Kabuto's can make me, right? Like, no. Cable television. I suffered without cable television my entire middle and high school years. And then I go off to college and my parents miraculously get cable television back. I don't know what happened. Cafeteria food. My mom packed me a turkey sandwich and chips for lunch every day. They took away Dave Ramsey took away cafeteria food from me. My mom made me eat a turkey sandwich and chips for lunch every single day, middle and high school years. I might be joking a little bit, like exaggerating a little bit, but I kid you not, like Dave Ramsey took away every little bit of extra spending that my parents had before they went through Financial Peace. My parents, I remember, they cut up credit cards. They did the cash in the envelopes. On the like rare occasion, they used the debit card. But it was like cash for this, cash for that. Everything had an envelope. Everything had a set amount of cash in it. And they did not spend more than what was in that envelope. That's how they lived for the longest time. And my dad had and still has a really great income. But they really took that and lessened like living below their means because of Dave Ramsey. You can ask Whitney. She's in with the nursery kids today. You can ask her this. This irritates me to no living end. When my parents call and they're like, oh, we gotta spend money on this, I'm like, shut up. You have the money. My mom called me the other day. She's like, well, Philip, it's gonna cost $900 to get my brakes fixed. I'm like, that is like chump change. What do you mean? You have to have brakes. She's like, I just hate spending that much money. I'm like, my parents, have probably more money than I can fathom, unless my brother, who's 31 years old and still lives with them sometimes, is spending all of their money. It's another sermon. My parents probably have so much money that I have no idea about. All I can think of is hello inheritance, unless my brother is spending it all right now. It pains me when my parents are like, we got to spend money on this. I'm like, well, duh. Like, so does everyone else. So does everyone else. Financial Peace University, like, honestly changed my parents' financial trajectory, and in a good way. Like I said, I don't think there was any crazy amount of spending, but through Financial Peace University and understanding these three principles that we have tried to, and we're going to talk about spending, but these principles of giving, saving, and spending, that really changed my parents. And because it changed their life, I joke, I kid, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it honestly has set myself and Whitney, as her parents did it, it set us up for success. My parents never did anything financially that hurt them. And I have reaped the benefits, Whitney has reaped the benefits of good examples, people who knew how to manage money well and gave us the example of how to live and not be like this couple that you heard and saw on that video. I owe my parents a tremendous debt of gratitude. I'm hoping that I get to reap some of the rewards of that sometime. I don't want them to die anytime soon, but, you know, like, a little inheritance would be nice. Some of y'all, if you carry paper currency, you know, maybe you didn't until just recently, but there's a phrase on the back of paper currency. Every bit of paper currency, and I think even coins, have the phrase, "In God we trust." This was added to our currency in 1957 by Congress. It became the national motto, "In God we trust." It became our national motto, and they wanted it on paper currency as well. And so that's why it's there. Do you know where it's not located, though? You won't find "In God we trust" inscribed on any form of plastic or any wallet app on your phone. You won't find it there. Now, granted, I understand, like, a little bit different, right? And there's probably a lot of reasons why. But in my head, and as I was thinking this week, I wonder if it's not on here because lenders and issuers of loans, they don't want us to be thinking about God and how God can relate to our financial habits. I mean, let's be honest. It pains me to spend this. I hate to spend this. But I'll be quick to take this out and use this to purchase whatever I need in that moment. And I'm less thinking about God and financial habits and spending wisely when I'm using this. But when I have paper currency, it's kind of on my mind. It's kind of on my mind. Thinking with that, that line of thinking, that train of thought, here's a question that I was thinking through this week and a question I want to ask you as well. Does our spending habits, do they reflect a trust in God and His resources, or do they reflect a lack of self-control? Today, we're wrapping this sermon series up, "In God We Trust," and we're going to talk about spending today. But really, before we talk about that, and I know this is the last part of this sermon series, but I just want to lay a base, like, foundation of what money is and how it is a resource and how spending money can be a good resource, a good way to use God's resources well. So before we talk about spending money, let's lay this baseline understanding that money is a resource given to us by God to use wisely. This biblical truth is brought to us by Jesus in the parable of the money bags, bags of money, in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." I'm going to summarize the next part, right? So the man with 5 goes out, gains 5 more. Master comes back. He finds the man with 5. and sees how he's gained five more. And he's like, hey, congratulations. Awesome. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to give you more responsibility. You have done well. He goes and he finds the man with two. And he's like, hey, you've gained two more. Great job. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give you more responsibility. I'm coming off a lockout. I'm very tired. Here's where the parable changes, though. It's like a stark contrast and difference here. Picking it back up in verse 24. The man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's the lesson of this parable. Jesus is teaching us a very simple truth here. We are given what we can handle. And we're responsible for using the resources, like money, that God has given us well. That's our responsibility. Use the resources that God has given you well. The issue is not how much you have. Like, God hasn't given me enough, or God given me too much. That's not what it's about. How well we have used what we have. When our mindset shifts to this, it's not mine, it's not ours mentality. When we understand that our finances, money is a resource given to us by God, when we understand that it is His to begin with and it is not ours, when we give, when we save, and we spend what's been entrusted to us, and we do so wisely, our mindset drastically changes when it comes to finances. And that's been the ultimate goal of this series. So we got that. It's a resource. Money is a resource. It's been given to us by God. It is His anyway, and our responsibility is to use it wisely, to do with it wisely, right? I have three challenges for us this morning. Three challenges for us to implement if we're going to spend money, if we're going to spend God's resources wisely. The first resource, I'll admit, is not for everyone in this room. But I honestly didn't think I could start doing this without hitting on this and really trying to hammer a point here. And so the first challenge is this, is to stop spending on sinful habits. There are some of you in this room, and you are funding a sinful habit, habits or addictions. You are subscribed to websites you should not be subscribed to. You have a subscription to an OnlyFans account or accounts. You are on websites you know you should not be on. Stop it. Cut it out. Don't subscribe to that anymore. End it now. You are addicted to alcohol, to drugs. Stop. Quit it. You cannot keep funding that sinful habit or addiction. And if you're like, I don't know how to get help, talk to us. Please talk to us. We don't want you living in that. That is not how God calls us to live. Get some help. And if we were not talking about finances, this is an obvious no-brainer anyway, right? Like, God does not want us to continue to live in sin. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, he's talking about adultery, and he uses figurative language, but honestly, the point he's trying to make is very clear. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 through 30. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. I mean, it's like figurative language, but Jesus is communicating a point. You do whatever it takes. go drastic. I mean, cut it off. Stop doing it. Stop funding these sinful habits or addictions. It ends today. In fact, point B of this challenge would be this. The money you're using to fund these sinful habits and addictions goes to God today. Like, it stops going to these habits, and it goes to God. And here's why I say that. If you're giving it to God, you're not missing it anyway, because you're already spending it on something. And you'll be less likely to want to take it back to fuel your sinful habits if it's already going to God. You want motivation to stop? That's plenty of motivation right there. The second challenge is learn when to say no. I live with a 5-year-old and a toddler. I know it's about to go down when I tell them no. And some of you probably understand that as well, right? No is not a word that we take too kindly to in our house. Our kids, they break down. Like, the meltdowns are tremendous when the word no comes out of mine or Whitney's mouth. They don't like that, right? No toddler, no 5-year-old has self-control. And when you tell them no, they are reminded that they don't have self-control and they don't want to be held to self-control. They want everything right now. That's how toddlers and 5-year-olds live. Everything is right now to them. I came across an article from nerdwallet.com this week. It was from earlier this year, but it broke down debt from 2024, from last year. The average mortgage debt is approximately $234,060 per household. The average auto loan balance is around $37,800 per household. The average student loan balance, blows my mind, is about $56,261 per household. The average credit card debt is approximately $10,815 per household. You know what these numbers are communicating? I mean, like, to me, they are screaming out something. And it's this, that we may look like grown adults in this room, but our spending habits look like toddlers. They look like toddlers because we as Americans have a hard time telling ourselves no. We have a hard time telling ourselves no. Giving into this instant gratification, I gotta have it now, I want it right now, I need it right now. Lifestyle is killing us. It is killing us. It's killing our society. This mindset of keeping up with the Joneses and gotta have the newest and the best and the greatest of this and that is killing us. We have no self-control. We cannot tell ourselves no. This is the world we live in. This is the world we're told is the greatest and best way of life. And we have no self-control anymore. We take on tremendous amount of debts to temporarily appease our never enough lifestyles. Here's the thing. We may look rich on the outside, like, I got this car, I live in this house, I've got all this stuff. We may look rich, but I'm going to tell you right now, some of y'all are poorer than any person I've ever met in a third world country. Our lives start to reflect the lyrics of a popular country song from 2015. And you may say this, you may say, I know money can't buy happiness. I think most of us would say that in this room. But it can buy me a boat. Well, I got a boat, it can buy me a truck to pull it. If I'm out on the lake, I might as well have a Yeti 110 iced down with some church edit. We got to cut it right there. This is how we live. I know money won't buy happiness. I know. But I got to have all this stuff. I need this stuff. My life is not complete without this stuff. And we'll subsidize our spending habits any way we can find possible. Listen to what King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5:10-11. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them, and what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? This may not be true of everyone in this room. But I've ventured to say that the spending habits of some of us here reflect a true discontentment in life. That we have to have everything. We live in this instant gratification lifestyle. And spending habits, our spending habits, they speak volumes about us. If I were to ask you this morning, show everyone your bank statement, your credit card statement, y'all would be terrified. You'd never come back to this church ever again. What do those things tell us? I'll tell you what mine tells me every month. It tells me I have an aversion to turkey sandwiches and chips at lunchtime. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Mine tells me I eat at Chick-fil-A way too much. Like, my budgeting app says, your most transactions this month occurred at Chick-fil-A. I'm like, I don't need you to tell me that, right? I don't need you to tell me that. There's a lady, Miss Kathy, she comes to first service. She's the manager over there. I'm like, she knows she's getting paid that week because I'm like there 3 or 4 times a week. She knows she's getting paid when she sees me. But honestly, if you were to bring me your bank statement, your credit card statement, what would it tell me? What would it tell you? When was the last time you looked at it? Solomon says that if your trust is in money, you will never be satisfied with your income. And that's where the plastic and the loans get us in trouble. If we're spending more than we're bringing in, we have a major problem that needs to be fixed right now. Learn to say no. It's okay. You can say no. We have to learn what it means to be content with what we have and be content with the resources God has given us, what he's entrusted us with. Teenagers, kids, I think I saw some kids in the room. Let me speak to you for a second. Y'all know, if you come to Sunday school, we teach hard things. Like, I don't shy away from that at all. We teach hard things, and I'm not going to shy away from something. You're going to be mad at me. I understand. Your parents love you. Like, they honestly love you. Like, if your parents didn't love you, you wouldn't be here today. Your parents love you, okay? Please, for the love of all that is holy, stop bankrupting your parents because you have to have everything right now. It's okay. It's okay if you go without. Like, it's okay if you don't have the newest iPhone. It's okay if you don't have the newest brand name clothes or shoes. I'm gonna tell you something else. It's okay if you don't drive a expensive luxury name brand car when you first get a car. It's okay if that car is several years old and has a couple of 100 miles on it, 1,000 miles on it. Like, that's okay. Okay? That's okay. Here's what's happening. You are living in this lifestyle of, I can get whatever I want whenever I want it. And parents, you are funding this lifestyle. And here's what studies are telling us. It's true. You can look this up. Each generation is becoming more in debt than the generation before it. Why? Because we cannot say no. Parents, you got to tell your kids no. And if you're thinking, well, Philip, that means I don't love them. No, it does. It absolutely does. If there's one thing I truly learned from my parents, is that no meant I'm helping you in the long run. I was set up for success because my parents told me no. That's okay. That is okay. Parents, if you are going to learn to tell yourself no, you can tell your kids no. Honestly, the lessons that hopefully you're going to put into place now will benefit them tremendously as they become young adults. Why? Because they'll learn that they can't just have everything when they want and by whatever means it takes to get it. These are true life lessons right here. You can say no. You can tell them no. You still love them. I promise. I think I turned out okay. Maybe. There's days I question that. When you teach them the importance of giving, saving, and spending, and doing that in the context of God's resources, you really do help them in the long run. It is okay to tell them no. It is okay to tell them no. We have to have self-control when it comes to our spending. Start budgeting today. I think Robin mentioned that last week. Some of y'all, you're like, I've never budgeted. I don't even know how to begin to do that. I use an app. It's called Rocket Money. My mortgage is through Rocket Mortgage, and it's free to me. I do think it costs a little bit of money, but here's the thing. If you allow it, and I understand this can be complete invasion of privacy, I get it. If you allow it to have access to your accounts, it does its work. It shows you what you're bringing in, how much you're spending. It shows you subscriptions that probably could go, like where some excess spending is at. And it helps you if you're like, I don't know how to save money. It can help you. It tells you, hey, maybe you can stop paying for that and put this into savings. And like Robin says, it shows you, if you just put a little bit in, it kind of compounds. It shows you what that will look like several years down the road. It's amazing. I love it. I love what it does. But you have to budget. And you're like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, knowledge is power. Like when you know, when you sit down and you budget, your eyes will truly be open to maybe where your money is going, where it's not going, where it should be going, and how you should be saving better. Do our spending habits reflect living to meet needs, or are we spending more than we have because we cannot tell ourselves no? And the last challenge is this, is learn to say yes with conditions, with conditions. God is a good God. Like, he gives us great, amazing gifts. He gives us good gifts. James says so in James 1:17. He says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I think money is a good gift from God. I do. Like, he knows we need it. He knows we need money, okay? But he wants us to give, to save, and to spend wisely. God is not Ebenezer Scrooge. Like, he doesn't want you to have any fun and just live in this, like, bah humbug type of life. That is not our God. That is not God, okay? He wants us to enjoy the resources he's given us. However, you cannot say yes if you have not mastered the first two of these challenges. You have to get yourself out of a financial mess and keep yourself from a financial mess. And then when you are able to do that, when you have structure, when you have this self-control, you are able to say yes with conditions. Here's the catch. Yes means I will not wreck myself for what I think I need. I can truly live in contentment, and I have contentment even when I say yes. When I was growing up, my parents, I joked a little bit about my growing up. My parents really did not, like, stuff was not a thing for them. They could have cared less about giving us stuff. They gave us experiences. And this was awesome. I remember vacations, places they took us or let us go. And I remember those things. Those experiences mean the world to me. Like, anything I could have had that they could have given me at that time would be meaningless now, but the experiences meant so much to me, and they still do. Those are things that money could not buy. So instead of stuff, experiences. Say yes to experiences. If you're going to get something new, replace it. Like, give something else away. If you're going to buy something new, give something else away. This is something we live with in the Dixon household. You get new clothes, you get new shoes, you get anything else, something has to go. Something's going to be donated. Something's going to be given away. That's how we live. In fact, we have told Hallie, we've introduced this to her as a five-year-old. In fact, we did it last night, and she did not like us. We told her, like, it's time to get rid of some stuff. Like, you just had a birthday. Christmas is coming up. You're going to give some stuff away. And so she's pulling toys out. She's pulling some clothes out. And she's going through, and you could tell in her brain, she's like, I think I really like this. I want to keep this, but maybe I'm going to get something better. That's the mindset, the mentality. That's what we live with in the Dixon household. You're going to give something away because you got something else. Give it away. If you're going to spend money on a new used car, because you don't need a new car, make sure you can pay for it in cash or finance very little. It's okay to enjoy a new car, every used new car every once in a while. If something's on sale, it's okay to purchase it. That helps us keep from getting in that instant gratification lifestyle. Every 2 to 3 years, man, go on that nice vacation because you've saved for it. You don't have to finance a vacation or put it all on your credit card. I don't think God looks down on us for celebrating and using his resources well. When you're able to give, to spend, and to save, and when you're able to enjoy the things he's given us, I think he's okay with that. But the priorities have to be there. The structure has to be there. You cannot allow yourself to get in a financial mess when you say yes. Let celebration, let joy, and let thankfulness for God's provision be our motivation for saying yes. Trust in Him. Trust in that resource. He's given it to you. He wants you to use it well. Give, save, spend, and use His resources wisely. Let's pray. God, it's tough, these life lessons when it comes to finances. We live in this world, this consumeristic world that tells us to go and get whatever we want, that we gotta have it, that our life isn't complete. And God, your view of finances and the resources you give us are the exact opposite. Give it away. Save a little bit. Spend it wisely. And God, you've entrusted us with this resource, with money. Help us to understand that it's not ours to begin with, that it is yours, and that our spending, our use should reflect thankfulness and gratitude for what you've given us. And Lord God, we know that you are the good giver. You give us good gifts. And more importantly, you gave us your Son. And God, He is enough. So God, let us rest in that truth that you love us and that we can trust you with the resources that you've given us. And it's in your name we pray. Some of you in this room, maybe you live in this, your life is just discontent. Like you have no satisfaction in life. And you've been chasing, you've been spending, you have spent your entire life like, if I could just have it. And you spared no cost to try to find it. And yet your life is still so empty and so meaningless. This morning, that can change. You have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to the one who gave you life. You have the opportunity to say yes. And here's the cost. You don't have to buy it. He just says, lay down your life, and it's yours. That's such great news. If that's you this morning, you've been chasing, you're like, I've never been satisfied. I cannot find that satisfaction in this world. It's available today when you say yes, when you surrender to Jesus, and when you're baptized with Him. That opportunity is yours today. I'll be over to the side. Robin's in the room as well. We would love to have that conversation with you. Have you say yes to Jesus today, to be satisfied, to be filled, to have contentment like you've never had before. If you need prayer for anything as well, we would love to pray with you. We'll be over to the side as we sing the song of invitation.